All right, now we're moving on to the Kings Hill Townhomes, LU 12161670HDZ. This is a type 3 hearing, so I'm going to read the type 3 disclosures. Public testimony is welcome and encouraged, but can only address the applicable approval criteria or other criteria in the comprehensive plan or land use regulations which the person believes apply to the decision. The applicable approval criteria are set forth in Portland Zoning Code and are more specifically identified in the staff report. Staff will identify the approval criteria as part of the staff report. Repetition of points made by other citizens in previous public testimony is strongly discouraged. Prior to the close of this hearing, any participant may request an opportunity to present additional evidence or testimony. If such a request is made, the commission will either grant continuance or hold the record open to provide an opportunity to submit additional evidence and an opportunity to respond to that new evidence. Failure to raise an issue accompanied by statements or evidence sufficiently specific to afford the commission and the parties an opportunity to respond to that issue precludes an appeal to the Land Use Board of Appeals based on that issue. Failure of the applicant to raise constitutional or other issues relating to proposed conditions of approval with sufficient specificity to give the commission or an opportunity to respond to the issues precludes an action for damages in circuit court under ORS 197796. The commission's decision on this case is final unless appealed to the city council within 14 days of the decision. If the decision is not appealed, it must be recorded with the Multnomah County Recorder. Specific instructions will be provided with the notice of the commission's action. This hearing is recorded, and all speakers need to sit at the front table and give their name and mailing address before speaking. The hearing procedure will be as follows. Staff will show photos and plans for the site and surrounding area. Staff will present a report. The staff report will include the applicant's proposal, identify the applicable approval criteria, and include information on letters received on the request, findings, and a recommendation on the request. The applicant will be given an opportunity to present to the commission. Public testimony will be received, first in support of the proposal and then in opposition to the proposal. Public testimony will be closed. The applicant may request additional time for rebuttal of public testimony. If any party requests an opportunity to submit additional evidence, the record will be held open for 7 days to allow time to submit additional evidence, 7 days to allow the parties to submit responses to the new evidence. After the record is closed to all new parties, the applicant will have an additional 7 days to submit final written arguments without additional evidence. After the record is closed to all parties, commission members will discuss and vote on the request. In the case of a tie vote on any motion, the motion will fail. If the commission's decision amends or overturns the Bureau of Development Service staff report, the adoption of new or revised findings will be required. At the time of its decision, the commission will announce when the revised findings will be considered. No additional testimony will be taken, but interested parties may attend. Do any commission members have ex parte contacts or conflicts of interest to disclose or declare? Okay. We will move forward with the staff report. Mr. Skelton.
So the staff report for this, notwithstanding what it says on the screen, this is for LU 12161670. This is just a copy and paste problem. The zoning on the property is RH, residential high density, and it has the historic resource protection overlay because it's within the Kings Hill Historic District. And the Kings Hill Historic District does have its own set of design guidelines. So they're the applicable approval criteria. So this is my usual zoom in. This is downtown showing all the historic districts. Kings Hill is this one down here. This is roughly here. This is zooming in on the district itself, and you can see the spine of it is Northwest 23rd. And here's the Vista Bridge. And this particular corner, the particular property is actually the corner property in the district. And it's in a peculiar part of Kings Hill that is more working class in character. This is a sort of an oblique aerial. You can see the site is partially occupied by the historic house that's under rehabilitation under a different review already. And then this is the site, roughly this rectangle here. The part that we're looking at today, the proposal is to use this vacant part of the site, which at the beginning, when the district was nominated, that had a historic house on it. And I revised the staff report because I got mixed up on which building was which. So you have a revised, it's just the site and definition. The Kolb flats were extant at the time that the property was, that the district was listed, and they were on the part that's now vacant. This was also the site of a very controversial case that went all the way to Luba to build something completely different on that corner, but it never got built. So looking into the I'm going to go looking into the site first from outside. So I'm looking in from across 20th into the site. There's a old foundation walls from the Kolb building that was there, the Kolb flats. Looking in from the northeast, kitty corner across both Madison and 20th, and then looking into the site from the north across Madison, and you can see it's very steep. The site basically loses a whole floor around, as you wrap around it. These are a few shots of the context out from the site. So this is looking east. Also, you're looking out of the historic district, even though the historic character beyond this point is actually pretty much intact. So from Kitty Corner out of the district, that's property owned currently, I believe, by the athletic club. And then the Hazeltine House across north across the street. So this is a very short presentation. We worked hard with the applicant to, we've recommended a DA, and they thought maybe we could not do it with a DA, and we ended up agreeing with them that they had enough details to come directly to you. So we're recommending approval, and then you have your usual options. So if you have any questions, I'll be glad to help.
So do you have photos of the historic house?
It shows up in one of those photos. It's this building, right?
It's the gray one?
Yeah, and that's the, can't remember the surname, but it's called the something
that's
residence.
The same house that's right here?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And then above further up the street, it's all modern stuff.
Okay.
And so that's actually on the same lot, but there's a lot segregation going on in the separate case going on at the same time to create two more lots for these townhouses.
Were there any details that you had questions or issues about, Dave, or were you felt pretty good about all the details?
No, I feel pretty good about where we got.
I noticed that fiberglass windows proposed.
Yeah, I can speak to that if you want. Harkening back to one of your recent approvals in the Alphabet Historic District where it was new construction, we conditioned the approval with the condition that if they were not wooden windows, they would have a historic profile.
Mm-hmm.
And as you can see, we've got you have both drawn and mocked up. So I didn't feel like a condition of approval was necessary this time. If you want to put it in, it's easy to copy it from the other
mm-hmm.
approval and put it in.
Okay.
All right. Does the applicant want to come up?
Tim. Why don't you make an appointment with Tim? Set up a time.
Oh, my name is Ted Argo. I have the firm Argo Architect, and our address is, what's my address? I forget my phone number too. 4630. No, yes. What is my address? 7840 Southwest 131st, Beaverton. We've worked with Dave quite a bit. The difference between the rendering that you have and the adjacent building is that the adjacent building had scaffolding on it when they did the rendering. So Emery's continued to make progress, so the scaffolding is no longer there in Dave's picture. We're glad that the hearing was today, because otherwise Emery was going to build the whole wall and bring it in, and we'd have, you know,
boy, aren't we lucky.
10 foot high, 40 feet long, and we'd be going from there. I think one of the things that doesn't show up as one of the design criteria that's in the handbook is the replacement of street trees, because that site is extremely barren right now. And we have two street trees per side. And one of the key features of the site is that once you turn the corner and come up the hill from Max, you've got a tree corridor except for that lot. And so I think that'll do it. That's one of the 97 pages of criteria. And I think that we're doing a reasonably good job of replacing those. We were able to jostle things a little bit to get some greenery against the bottom of the building and a fairly narrow piece of the site. And we've been able to design the structure so that we can have off-street parking underneath the building, which was one of the concerns that we heard from the neighbors when we met with them. The rest of the materials are called out in the details. Emery's mocked up full-size ones of those, and I think we've picked detailing generally that fits in with selected details in the neighborhood. And we know you don't want a copy of existing buildings, but there are enough precedents there that I think we followed successfully. I don't want to talk on forever, so if you have questions for me, I'd be glad to answer those, or I continue to talk for my allotted 7 more minutes.
Just a question on the brick. So I see that it runs on the elevations around the east elevation and the
it dies in
north elevation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then when we get around to the south elevation, which is visible from the street, that's where the parking comes in.
Correct.
Underneath there. It terminates at that edge. Is it possible to take that on across head along that south elevation? Or?
Well, you could. You know, as you look
just
at the
site. Just see that continuity. You know, go around.
Yeah, and Dave had a picture of that corner of the site. There's an arborvitae hedge that's not on our property. And so everything that you see coming up the hill is going to be arborvitae hedge. And so what we've done instead is we've terminated the brick in a 2 foot square column, or I think it's 18 inch square column. Mm-hmm. And then we've repeated that column as kind of a defining element across the driveway. So that's how we're terminating it rather than just stopping it at the corner.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Brian, you might want to look at the west elevation too. There's no brick down that side either. The siding steps down the hill.
Mm-hmm. And is that visible from the street? Or
slightly.
Somewhat. To me, it looks odd when you look at the rendering on the cover. You know, there's a smaller inset one where you can see the actual driveway
right
under there. It's pretty. We just want to keep that continuity visually, I think, going through there. I would say, yeah, probably the west side as well, if that was possible.
It's kind of weird on the west side. Because we're actually below grade with our main floor level.
Okay.
At that northwest corner. And so my feeling was that I'd rather keep it at the foundation level than jump it up again and jump
right
it back down. That seemed a little suburban to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd be more concerned just more about the south side, I guess, the west side, not as so much, but Yeah, the suburban connotation, though, is what I'm concerned about as well. Where you see that just on the front, you know, and then you go around the side and it's just gone. Yeah. So, which is potentially how the south side could read, but yeah, it's probably okay on the west side. I don't know if that's a big difference for you, cost-wise. So.
Other questions? Okay, thank you very much. You can have a seat. We've got one person who wants to comment. Jerry Powell.
Hi there, my name's Jerry Powell. I live at 1926 Southwest Madison Street, just about 100 feet from this site.
Which direction?
East.
Got it.
This is an odd position for me to be in because I really like the building program that the developer has proposed here. I think the building lacks a certain amount of grace, and it and I think there's time to fix that. Weather-wise, I don't think that he's probably going to be going into the ground for a while, and I don't see any reason to rush this at this point. I'd quote from the nomination document for Cold Flats, which was the building that was here. The building is covered with a low-pitched hipped roof with a large central hipped roof dormer. The main entrance is recessed beneath a slight pent roof projection with diminutive brackets. The main facade is symmetrical with paired single-pane double-hung wood sash windows located above the entrance. On either side are window groupings consisting of a central fixed plane with leaded glass transom flanked by single-pane double-hung wood sash. These window groupings have shutters and flower boxes. The eaves of the roof and dormer have exposed brackets. The foundation level of this building is surfaced with wood shingles, and the main volume is clad with narrow wood weatherboards with corner boards. Exterior brick chimney, you get the idea. The historian that reviewed this building provided us a pretty excellent verbal picture of the building that was there. I think the way this building presents to the street lacks a great deal of that sort of grace that typified arts and crafts buildings or craftsman style buildings of you know the first decade of the century. And I think in that it probably fails guidelines one and two, A1 and two. So it's very difficult to sit here and say that, well, gee whiz, I like it, but I don't like it. And what I'd really like to hear is an encouragement to the architect to fix the sort of problematic entries and the kind of insignificant porches that are tacked onto the front of this thing, and maybe deal with the fenestration on the front that's anything but representative of the genre of building. No, I don't think that you need to recreate a craftsman house. I agree certainly with the architect that, and nobody's into trying to recreate something that was not there, but there was something there, and it had a certain amount of presence on that street. It contributed to the street as it continued to develop, And the fact that the thing burned down left a gaping hole. By the way, the whole neighborhood is breathing a sigh of relief that there is finally going to be a building on that corner instead of a tent camp. My suggestion is it's almost there, and it really needs some encouragement from this commission. Thank you.
Questions from Mr. Powell? Thank you. Does the applicant have anything else to say? Mr. Argo, do you have anything else to say? I hate to make you run up here. If you don't,
that's
you
okay. can see if I can remember my address this time.
we disagree a little bit because we feel that the criteria A1 and A2 are met pretty carefully, that it doesn't look like the other building would lead us to, I don't think we're required to make it look like the other building. The scale, the materials, could we fuss with the windows? We could. If we had a direction, I'm sure we could fuss with those. Other than that, we feel it meets all 97 pages of the criteria pretty well, except for the ones that talk about remodeling.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. At this time, I'm going to close public hearing, and we can talk about what y'all think. Is it strange, Brian, to have a brick foundation like this?
A little bit. I mean, there's definitely more of that in the Kings Hill neighborhood, though, because it's older up there. I've worked on some homes up there that have brick foundations.
Have brick foundations like this?
So I wouldn't say it's strange, but it's not super common in Portland, though, either. So that's one of the areas I wanted to check on. It's a one-inch brick veneer, but the corners are authentic in the way that they wrapped with the so that it at least looks real. Sometimes the one-inch veneer, you get some oddball miter joints at the corners that don't look very good, in my opinion.
Small bricks.
They're one-inch
thick. Yes, so it's like a siding material essentially. It's not an authentic load-bearing masonry at that point. So that's particularly why I think it's important that wrap on around at least that south side, just because we don't want it to look like a suburban, brick veneer on a front of a garage or something. But I think they've gone to lengths, though, to make sure it doesn't look like that in the mock-up, and they've already are going pretty much all the way around, so that's not that much more area there.
So you think that it ought to continue on the south side, like halfway up that wall?
I would just follow the same datum where it's at there, under the windowsill there. If you look
at,
there's an elevation, you can see it. C7. If it tracked underneath of the sill of the window, you can see where it is on the pilaster there on the right-hand corner, just across that side.
So what about?
I'm sorry, Brian, would you carry it all the way under between the garage doors and all the way to the far side? Or?
Yeah, I would. Just be clear and just take it all the way across there. That's just my opinion.
Then what would you do when you got to the west side?
Well, that's what I was asking about on the west side. I don't think this is going to be very visible down here because it's up against that.
So how would you terminate it on the edge there? You just see if you went all the way across the south.
It's kind of like I guess maybe you return it back one.
Yeah.
Kind of like the way you return. Yeah, right, one course or something. That's a good point. I'd let Dave work that out with the applicant, I think. That's a good point. I'm not sure what they're doing at the top here either. I guess it's, oh, it's underground there. That's what he was saying. So that makes sense. I mean, my thoughts are the applicant's done a really nice job working with the criteria and with staff to big picture create a good infill design that's in keeping with the district and without trying to be a necessarily a replica, but it's certainly in keeping with the Kings Hill district.
I like how the roof is all broken up.
Mm-hmm. I think the change in siding materials are good.
What about the on the south elevation on the second story above the garages? There's those little windows that are like half of a 1/1.
Mm-hmm.
Those seem to me to be a little bit contemporary. Or I don't understand why they wouldn't match the others.
Probably in a bathroom or a closet. Or a shower. They're a little bit odd in that I think that normally, sometimes you'd see a square window like that on a historic building, but it wouldn't be ganged in the case trim like that.
Yeah.
Maybe if that could be pulled off, I don't know what the floor plan requirements are there, if that's possible. But so it just stands alone from the other two double hungs. It would look perhaps better that way.
What do you think of these windows?
Well, I think the details show enough reveal between the siding, so they're getting back, which is the issue Dave talked about that we discussed as a precedent in the Alphabet District. So I'm okay with that, personally.
Those are pushed back far enough?
And they're fiberglass, not vinyl, so they're paintable at some point if somebody wanted to paint them. I think, you know, we could adopt the same criteria as Dave suggested on the other application on that point.
That they meet the historic...
Yeah, profiles reveal.
Relief?
Yeah.
Reveal.
But I believe that's also detailed in their section drawings, too.
What do you think, Karen?
I don't have any additional issues. I agree.
Paul?
I'm not mad about the color, but we don't review color, so.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not wild about the color either, but.
But that might be something that we could think about some other options.
It's nice to see that there's some landscaping. That'll soften it, I think. Or there's room for landscaping, I guess.
Yeah, on balance, I think this is going to be a strong contribution to the neighborhood and a positive development. So,
well, am I the only person who feels like those that little window where the shower is a little strange?
No, I think it is a little bit strange. I don't know. Maybe if staff can just work to see if that can be pulled off a little bit. I don't think that's a deal breaker, but if it can be... Looks like in the shower, possibly, I'm looking at the floor plan now, could be moved away so it's just not ganged with the trim there. Maybe it's centered in the shower itself.
Actually, we'd rather eliminate it completely than start. We figured that half the size of the adjacent window was a better compromise.
I can't hear you. Do you want to come up?
I mean, our thought was that it was better to replicate half of the adjacent window than it was to do something smaller and a different proportion. And all things considered for us, we'd rather eliminate the window and just do the two adjacent to it.
Oh, I see.
Because we can do that in the plan.
That's fine.
And that would limit our view of the roof of the BMW dealer, too, which is probably okay.
I think we'd be okay with that.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
Okay, so Dave, can you revise the approval to include the condition about the window and to require the extension of the brick?
Yeah, I would argue that this window and the details that you have about the sectional details about this window make it absolutely clear that this is a traditional installation. So that's why I didn't include the condition because we weren't ready last time that we hadn't gotten there. So I'd suggest that that's not really needed. We know that we've got a pattern that's going to fit into the neighborhood. And then, it's easy to, if you could, we can get them out of here with a decision, a final decision today, if you can empower me to write a condition that the brick veneer wrap around across the south side at the same datum that it arrives, and then come up with a good solution where it turns onto the west side,
mm-hmm.
and then eliminate the little window.
Okay, two windows.
Two windows, yeah. So I think if your motion should delegate that solution to the staff, so that we can get them out of here. We can get them out of here today without having to come back to.
Any more dialogue? Or are we ready to?
I guess we're gonna have to.
Any more discussion?
Are we gonna have to bring this back to you? I guess we will have to, if we're adding conditions.
For what?
To adopt final findings.
Is that right or no?
If they're conditions, if we're actually adding conditions.
I'm not necessarily. What's the if the condition's clear and can be crafted? I think we can take the written the verbal word and write it into the record technically.
Okay.
And still be done today. But we would need very clear language to adopt.
Mm-hmm.
And less is more when it comes to conditions, so be crafty.
Okay, well, I move that we adopt staff's findings and approve this application with two conditions. One, that the brick veneer siding wrap around the south facade, striking the same datum below the windowsill across that south elevation, and that the two small square windows on the south facade at the middle level be removed.
You want to call the roll?
Paul Solomon?
Yes.
Karen Carlson?
Yes.
Brian Emmer?
Yes.
Terry Richard?
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.